let me in.
Shiba, shiba.
I want to be closer to you.
Shiba, shiba.
Open up your soul.
Shiba, shiba.
Let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your.
Touch your mind.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. You've listened to me long enough to know how much I love movies. I love the movie festivals that we have here in the city. One of the ones that has been around for, I want to say 10 years, as the French had a name for it. It's here. It's about to explode your minds. And I'd like to welcome, I'm going to say the founder of the whole thing, this is his very own brainchild. I'd like to welcome Don Malcolm. Hello.
Hello, Marilyn. It's so good to see you again.
It's good to see
I
you.
I think the last few times we've had to do it by phone, but, you know, this is the coolest place in the world. To be in this room and have that music going, I mean, it's a dream job, isn't it? Really?
I kind of
really?
Love
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I love it, too. I envy you being able to do this, and it's great to be with you today. I'm going to ask you to open up our program. Our program covers all 33 films that we'll show in two parts as we finish up for a while. Mm-hmm. Grand finale, French had a name for it, in 2024.
Now, and why are you finishing it up?
We are finishing it up because I finished the book, and it's time to take a little break and try a few other things. But, you know, I think people will be really excited when they – people have been asking me about that book for 5 years, saying, when are you going to finish that book because we want to see it all?
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, we were trying to do that book with a fabulous man named Bertrand Tavernier.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, he passed away a couple of years ago, and that whole thing had to be completely re-envisioned. So that project got going. But let me tell people a little bit about what we're showing. Now, I see that you're looking at our chart. In the program, it folds out to show you all 155 films.
And this is a huge program. This is
that
a
we showed
side.
From 2014 until now.
Uh-huh.
There have been a few repeat screenings. Our opening night show is a show that we did screen back in 2014 in our very first show. It features Jean Gabin and Brigitte Bardot in the only film that they ever played together. It's called Love Is My Profession.
Ooh.
And our good friend at the Chronicle, Alan Johnson, wrote a little about it already.
Uh-huh.
And he was kind enough to steal my line about it, which I think sort of gives everybody a sense of what it's about. I said it was sexy, scintillating, sensitive, and shocking.
Okay.
And it's all of those things. It's a May-December kind of romance, got a little scandal.
Mm-hmm.
When the American people brought it over, they changed the name to Love Is My Profession, which kind of gives you the sense that there's a little something going on there.
Mm-hmm.
But they took the nudity out of the film when they brought it to America in 1958. So it was a racy film. Our first two festivals were very sexy.
Mm-hmm.
But then they changed, and then I started realizing that we had a whole lost continent of films to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last 8 years after that, we've filled this out from a 35-year period, 1932 to 1966. The French actually, as I think we've said on this program before, invented film noir in 1932. And in this festival, we will show several of the films from 1932 that we were not able to get around to. When we do our show on Friday night, we will show a film with the actor Charles Boyer, who became well-known in America, but he plays the first psychopathic character in noir in a film called Tumults, which was directed by Robert Siodmak, who is Eddie Muller's favorite director of film noir. He's famous for the films he did in Hollywood. He was originally from Germany, but what is not really well-known is that he spent 7 years in France fleeing the Nazis before he made it to America and to Hollywood. And this is one of his films. And he was a pioneer of film noir in France. And so that will happen on Friday. I'm going to move ahead to Sunday because I want to make sure we tell people because I'm so excited about that program. More Jean Gabin, early Jean Gabin, with another film from 1932 where he plays a roughneck. He's not playing the kind of character he became famous for. Fascinating to see him at the very beginning of his career and at the dawn of film noir. It plays with another film of his called Les Belles Equipes, where he is part of a group of five guys who decide to buy a tavern. This is the period that called the Popular Front in France, and it's supposed to be the dawning of a new age. It's about 3 years before they were invaded by the Nazis.
So
it sort of all fell apart on everybody at the time. And so the film sort of shows how dreams don't always work out. So it's a very interesting little film. That is our Sunday matinee, but our evening show is our big show that I hope that we'll find a number of our friends from who are fans of silent film will join us because the Les Misérables from 1934, directed by Raymond Bernard. Raymond Bernard began his career in the silent era, and he brings a lot of those aesthetics to this massive, epic, three-part Les Misérables that we'll show on Sunday evening at 5:30 at the Roxy. It's fantastic. It's the I would say it's a cross between a silent film aesthetic and film noir because the cinematographer Jules Krueger, you remember Abel Gance's Napoleon?
Yeah.
Same guy was a cinematographer. It's an amazing version of that. You know, Les Misérables is everywhere, but this is really the one that the critics say is the best one. And I, having seen it, I would agree. And the man who plays Jean Valjean, Harry Bauer, is one of the great, great actors. He's the kind of guy that you would never – you take a look at him and say, how could this guy possibly be a movie star? But he was such a great actor that the fact that he didn't have movie star looks didn't matter. It's an amazing – it's an amazing performance. And folks, there will be two intermissions because it's a three-part – three separate films that get the entire novel, you know, described and put on the screen for you. It's quite an event. It's the kind of event that, you know, that in the, back in the day would have been at the Castro, but we're bringing it to the Roxy.
So was it, so you're saying it's a three-part film. Was that unusual at the time to have it had films broken up, you know, more than once?
Not so much in the silent era, but but it was a little bit more unusual for it to continue on into the 30s. But in order to try to do that, to do justice to Les Misérables, because the novel is like something like 1,900 pages. You know, this was what Raymond Bernard wanted to do, and so it's an amazing film. And so I hope that people will get excited listening to that. Come out and check this out because this is very unusual thing for us to be able to do, and we're really, really excited about it. We finish up on Monday night with one of the great – another actor that you might not think of as being a movie star, Michel Simon, in two films where he goes crazy. One of them, it's all part of the situation that's going on at the very end of World War II, and there's a method to his madness. But in the second film called Not Guilty, he's a man who accidentally gets away with murder and then goes into a fugue state thinking that he can murder with impunity. He snaps and becomes sort of a serial killer. It's an incredible movie. The movie that he's best known for has been shown it's become better known. It's called Panique. And he plays a character that's from Georges Simenon novel Monsieur Ear. But in this film, he goes way, way beyond that. It's definitely one of the most startling of all the noirs that we have, and it's a great way for us to finish up part one. Part two, we'll maybe if we're lucky, we'll get a chance to come back right before Thanksgiving and tell you about the 19 films that we have for part two of the grand finale.
So
that sort of gives you a sense of what we have with our 14 films.
Why is it broken up into a part one and a part two?
Well, you know, the Roxy is incredibly busy these days.
Gotcha.
The Roxy has become – the Roxy is sadly but good for them is the beneficiary of sort of this crisis in you know, movie screens in San Francisco and in particularly repertory cinema. There's just not that many places to do it anymore. So in order to sort of make it all work out, we decided – when we were going to do a big extravaganza, we thought it might be good to give everybody a little break. It worked better for them. Mm-hmm. I think it'll work better for the audience because 33 films is a lot.
It is.
And breaking it up into two is, I think, a sensible way to try to proceed. So
okay.
I think it'll be good. But so as you can see, you know, we have chronicled everything we've done, and the book will do the same. And I think the book will not be available till part two. So
okay.
People, do not ask me for the book now. It goes to the printer in 2 weeks. It'll be ready for us
in time for Christmas, early
December, right
okay.
before my birthday and right before Christmas. That's
excellent.
Right.
Excellent. So this is opening on Friday?
Opens on Thursday night.
Thursday,
October 3rd with Jean Gabin and Brigitte Bardot.
Okay. So through you've talked about opening night, you've talked about closing night of part one.
Correct.
Is there a film between those two dates that you're like, I really hope that people come and see this one? You know, this like maybe an underrated gem.
Well, you know, all of these films are underrated gems in one way or another.
But
I would tell you that I was telling you before we came on the air, you know, that we're having a heat wave right now.
Yeah.
I remember 3 years ago, we were coming back from the pandemic and we scheduled a show in late October.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you remember, but in late October, there was a atmospheric river that came through town.
Oh.
9 inches of rain in 24 hours. That was the day that we had our first day of the festival.
Oh, wow. So you guys practically got rained out.
Oh, it was quite something. I remember I drove up the day before.
Uh-huh.
Weather was fine. Drove home the next day. Weather was fine. I mean, the day after. In the middle, 9 inches of rain. Yeah.
Boom.
So, but I think we're going to be fine. I don't think we have to worry about rain or anything keeping anybody away. I would say the Sunday show with Gabin and Les Miserables is like the major thing. But, of course, opening night with Gabin and Bardot.
Mm-hmm.
We do a couple of shows in the Little Theater for our film club, the people that sort of sustained us over the years who've been incredibly loyal. And so Charles Boyer film is one of those. And we have some interesting things scheduled for Saturday as well, including a couple of films by a director named André Cayatte, who was a guy that did not get the kind of recognition that he deserved. He sort of got slagged off by the Nouvelle Vague people because he was more of a socially conscious guy, and that's not really what the new wave was about. It was about something else.
Okay.
And so Cayatte is sort of this. We have the opportunity to use the screening room for things that are really rare. I mean, everything's rare, but even rarer.
Mm-hmm.
And so those shows are already sold out because they're in the smaller room.
Mm, okay.
So pitching them doesn't really help anything, unfortunately.
Okay. Sure.
But we'll have more of him in the big theater in part two, including a repeat of a film that I just love called Trap for Cinderella, which hopefully we'll talk a little about maybe in right before Thanksgiving, because we have those 19 films to show right after Thanksgiving into early December. So that will be our 33 film grand finale.
So when people go to part one and part two, will they have access to this amazing poster?
The combination program poster.
Yeah.
We made plenty of them.
This is incredible.
They'll be handed out. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. We had went through a lot of gyrations. We're gonna have to show people how to open this.
Sure.
because of certain things that happened during the production process.
Well, I still have the one you gave me many years ago, which has a little timeline on it.
Oh yeah,
that's been on my wall forever. But now this is gonna take its place.
Well, this covers everything, and it's. I would just say that it's been a monumental thing because, as I think we were talking about earlier, 155 films, 44 of which had never been screened in America before we showed them at the Roxy, which is astonishing to think how much stuff got kicked to the curb, got lost for so long. It adds a whole new chapter to film noir, and I think as time goes on, it will become the revised history of that movement. And, you know, I'm really glad to see that Eddie's been showing a lot more foreign noir. He hasn't shown a lot of our stuff, but hopefully it'll become more available to everybody, mm-hmm. and that will become part of what he and his folk do in the future as well, because film noir is, you know, it's the elemental thing. It was the transition from an earlier kind of movie making to what we have today, and it continues to be important. It continues to resonate. The world is a scary place. We hope that it won't be too scary after November 5th here in our country. But film noir is always there to be a cautionary tale, right?
Right.
Right.
So I know there's a lot of people now chomping at the bit to know where they can get tickets.
They can get tickets at Roxy.com, and they can get tickets at MidCenturyProductions.com. I also want to let people know that for people that are interested in the Thursday, Sunday, and Monday shows, we do have a special pass for those shows in the big theater, mm-hmm. which you'll find the information at the site, which, you know, it's a very nice deal. You get to see Les Miserables and as well as part of that, which is fabulous. Harry Bauer uber alles, as we say.
Well, Don Malcolm, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Thank you so much for being on the show. Thanks for printing out this amazing, the French had a name for it, 24 program and poster, because something like this, it gives you a list of things that you can just go through and go, okay, I've seen that, I haven't seen that, I've seen that, I've seen that, I've seen that, I haven't seen that. So thank you once again for putting on this production and for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Marilyn. Great to see you.
All right. People of Earth, this is your opportunity to go check it out. It's going to be awesome and amazing. And, you know, like I said, I love me my movie, so I'm going to try and get over there and see some of the shows. It's going to be amazing. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. We're able to stay on the air through your very generous tax-deductible donation. So why not, you know, toss us a little something-something if you have it, just if you have it. Don't bankrupt yourself if you don't need to. A film that appeared in, I think it was like maybe the 50s or something. Miles Davis did the score for Elevator to the Gallows. I can't really pronounce it in French because I would just embarrass myself. But it's an amazing, amazing soundtrack, so let's give it a listen, shall we? Thank you. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. That's Miles Davis and Nuit sur les Champs-Élysées. And we also heard Julien dans l'ascenseur. Both of those are from Elevator to the Gallows. It is 12:22 here at 89.5 FM, KPOO, San Francisco. And I'm just digging this so much. I feel like we should probably hear maybe one more cut from it. I think you're going to like this one because it is Motel. Enjoy.
Thank you. Plymouth People. Plymouth People. Thank you.
Yeah, that's Bud Powell. And Hot House, because that's what your house is about to become. It's from Bouncing with Bud. Before that, Cannonball Adderley and Primitivo from Volume 2, Jazz Workshop. And Miles Davis from Ascenseur pour le Show, or Elevator to the Gallows. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO. San Francisco, and yeah, it's the last Monday of the month, which means I have my librarianistas. Double your pleasure, double your fun. I got two today for the price of one. I'd like to welcome the shapely and talented Darren Heber and Richard Lee. Hello, gents.
Hello.
You had it right with Heber.
Oh, good. I wasn't sure. I was like, oh, why didn't I check?
Oh, it's great. Don't worry.
Okay. So since you're on the phone, I'm going to ask you first, tell us which branch you work at and what you do. And then Richard will tell his tawdry tale.
Sounds great. So my name is Darren. I am the branch manager at Glen Park Branch Library. Mm-hmm. And I'm also a children's services librarian and often host pajama story times on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock at the library.
Oh, cool.
We'll have one this Wednesday, and I'd love to see some grown-ups and youth there in their pajamas along with me.
Okay, and Richard, tell us which branch and what you do.
Yes, so my name is Richard Lee. I'm at the North Beach branch. Mm-hmm. I'm also a manager. And I'm here to tell you a little bit about what we're coming up. We have a very wonderful genealogy symposiums and conference coming up, mm-hmm, October 23rd, which is a Wednesday. So it's all free events. It's going to be on Zoom. So encourage all of you to sign in and participate. It's going to be fun, and there's going to be a lot of story and things to learn in terms of researching your root and ancestor.
Okay, so as an African-American, I come from people where they didn't necessarily keep records other than who owned us. So how does one go about researching when you have that kind of a background?
That's a good question. So, of course, the first thing is to visit your local library, in our case, San Francisco Public Library. Mm-hmm. And the conference on 23rd is designed for that purpose.
Ah.
So we invited 9 different organizations in the Bay Area, Family History Centers, libraries, National Archive, and different genealogical society in the Bay Area. So they're going to be offering help, tips, as well as some advice, how do you go about if you get stuck.
Oh, okay, and when is that again?
That's going to be on Wednesday, October 23rd. It's going to be all day, 9 to 6. It's going to be on Zoom, virtual.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. So you don't have to leave your home.
Actually, you can access it then from any part of the world, right?
Exactly. And if you don't have access, you can come to the library and we can set you up with a computer.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So how are you going to top that, Darren?
Well, I mean, there's no topping learning about your family history. It sounds like a wonderful program. But if you're looking for something happening a little sooner than that, this Saturday, October 5th, we're partnering with the Glen Park Merchants Association and SF Art Walk to offer an art walk here and a music extravaganza. The art walk will run from 12 o'clock to 5 o'clock, and the library has contributed some amazing musical artists to play on the main stage during that time. And I know it's hardly strictly bluegrass weekend, but I can promise you I've looked at the Saturday lineup, and what we're offering will certainly pack a punch as well and compare pretty favorably, I think. We have... one of the amazing part of it is actually Tricycle Music Fest.
Uh-huh.
We're kicking that off, which is an all October celebration at our libraries. We bring out Grammy winning nominated artists and children's music, and we also give out a free tricycle to one lucky participant at each of the shows. This Saturday, on the 5th at 3 o'clock, we're going to be really excited to host Lucky Diaz here. Lucky Diaz is a bilingual songwriting, taco-eating, multi-Latin Grammy award-winning, and 6-time Emmy-nominated musician.
Mm-hmm.
Also a children's television personality and author. He's going to run a show here from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock out on the streets, out on Diamond Street, right near the library.
Uh-huh.
That will be amazing for families to come out to. A very wonderful family-friendly event. If you're looking for something a little bit earlier, he's also going to be at Portola Branch at 11 a.m. that same day on Saturday, October 5th, or come to both. 2 chances to win tricycles. The following weekend, the Alphabet Rockers are going to be at West Portal Branch and at the main library. The Saturday, October 19th, Purple Fox and the Heebie-Jeebies are going to be at Excelsior and Marina branches.
Uh-huh.
And then we're going to close out Tricycle Music Fest on Saturday, October 26th with the Jazzy Ash Trio. And they'll be at Visitation Valley Branch and Ortega Branch. What's really nice about our program on Saturday and what we're really excited about as a celebration of the arts is we're also bringing out 2 other local bands who can both be found on our Bay Beats website.
I was going to ask you that. Go on.
Yes, if you're not familiar with Bay Beats, it is amazing. This is a website that we started offering this year, free to everyone to access. We highlight local Bay Area musicians. It's like Spotify, but free for everyone, and you're hearing local talent and amazing musicians with a wide range of musical interests. And that's at baybeats.sfpl.org. You can also just search for Bay Beats and you'll find it without a problem. But we're kicking off the day at 12 o'clock with a female-fronted punk band called Local Bylaws.
Mm-hmm.
Local Bylaws are a ferocious female-fronted punk band. They're all union workers who participate in the band, and they are coming down to us from Davis, I believe. So this will be a really wonderful opportunity to see them. They'll be on the stage from 12 to 12:30. And then if punk is not your style, although I do recommend checking it out, we're going to follow that up at 1:30 to 2 o'clock with Jeff Manson, who is more of a singer-songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
He has some really amazing music. He's performed under his own name with other musicians in the Bay Area since the early 2000s, from small clubs to Oakland warehouses and outdoor festivals. He's Bolinas-based now. And a fun fact about him is his wife is a musician and also a community liaison at the Bolinas Library. So they've got library love there as well.
Wow, that's a lot that's going on. Okay.
Well, what's great is it's not just the music, too. We're going to have artists selling their wares, a children's area for youth to play around, free mm-hmm. book giveaways, and lots of other amazing things. The Glen Park neighborhood is very excited to bring people out to see all the amazing things that we have to offer here.
How long have you been doing that?
The Art Walk itself, we hosted our first one in Glen Park last year, and I can't speak to how long Art Walk SF has been running. I believe that they started just a few years ago, but they're amazing. They activate different neighborhoods throughout San Francisco throughout the year on different months, and they're very easy to find at Art Walk SF. I definitely recommend checking them out. I believe Glen Park is closing out their annual schedule this year, but they'll start up again very soon. And so it's a really fun opportunity to bring out family, do a little shopping, support local artists, and discover some possibly new-to-you neighborhood.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. All right. Well, okay, Richard, you're back on the spot now because he outdid you.
Okay. So just to encourage your listener to come to the conference and to come to the library and learn more about or research on your route, because I don't know if your listener knows that there are many benefits of doing genealogical research. So one of them is building resilience.
Mm-hmm.
So as you learn stories about your ancestors and all the hardship they faced, you become understanding that you know life is not so easy, and you begin to develop strategy to overcome your adversity. And also another thing is that you develop a sense of core identity, knowing who your roots, what they value for. It's sort of like giving you a sense of direction in life. So doing this kind of research is really helped to build a person, and perhaps learning from the past, we can make a better future.
Have you done the genealogy sort of symposium before?
Yeah, so we did one last year, and it was an all-day conference at the main library. About 200 people show up.
Wow, yes. That's a lot. That's a do any of the librarians do it as well? Like they like, oh, I want to see where I come from.
Yeah, so a lot of people start doing that afterward, and it's on YouTube. I mean, if you guys want to check it out.
Oh yeah.
And so this time we invited a lot of people. So for example, we invited the San Francisco African Americans Cultural and Historical Society to come and give a talk.
Oh, nice.
And we also invited the Chinese American Historical Society.
Very nice.
Different groups can come and converge and share their collection and giving very valuable tips. And oftentimes when we do it, sometimes we get stuck on it, and then we don't know who to turn to, and this is the place to go to.
Very nice. So when you're not doing this genealogy symposium, what other things do you do in your department?
Okay. So I'm a manager at a manager branch. And my branch is at the North Beach Library. And of course, in October is the Italian Heritage Month.
I did not know that.
Similar to Darren's branch,
our
branch, the North Beach Library, is hosting a series of events. For example, like learning how to play bocce ball,
Okay.
You know, class, and uh-huh. then we have a walking tour.
So when is the bocce ball class? And
that
when
one
is
going to be on every Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
In October, from 2 to 4
okay.
p.m. just right outside the library.
Okay.
And then we have walking tours of the neighborhood.
Uh huh.
And that will be on October 5th and the 12th from 10:30 to noon.
Oh, very nice.
It's really fun. Just take you through the neighborhood, talk about the food, the culture, the people, what make that community vibrant.
So do you just converge at the library and then you everyone's on their way?
Exactly.
Oh, very
so
cool.
So everyone show up at the library and ends at the library.
Okay. Now, October is also my favorite month because it's got my favorite holiday, mm-hmm. which is Halloween. So are either of the branches that you guys represent doing anything for Halloween? And I'm gonna let Darren go first on this one. Put you right on the spot.
So I know. That's I wish I was better prepared for this question. But we do actually have a group that meets on Fridays. Well, that will meet on this Friday, the 4th of October. It's our junior readers group
mm-hmm.
where youth get together. They share books that they're interested in. They learn about other books that they might appreciate. And they also get to do a fun craft together.
Mm-hmm.
And so this Friday, the 4th from 4 o'clock, they are going to make their own spooky Halloween bookmarks as well mm-hmm. as get a free book to use that bookmark in.
Okay.
Which should be fun for them. And then as we get closer to Halloween, we are actually going to do a Little Shop of Horrors double feature. Wednesday, the 30th of October, starts
uh-huh.
at 2 o'clock. We're going to show both the original Little Shop of Horrors and the follow-up with Rick Moranis and Steve Martin in it. Which should be a really fun time to come out for.
I'm jealous of everyone who gets to go see that. Wow. Okay, you're on the spot now for Halloween.
Yeah, so at the North Beach Library, all uh-huh. librarians are busy right now gathering Halloween books for the kids.
Okay.
So it'll be a big display. And also we're going to have, I don't have the date yet, we'll have maybe a couple crafts. Arts and craft for the kids, so it'll be fun.
And is there a Halloween book that seems to be a perennial favorite from that you guys are aware of?
Not me. It's there are a lot of books, so not I don't have any
okay.
favorite.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Well,
but when we put our Halloween displays out in our libraries, we absolutely see people they eat them up. I mean, no pun intended.
Uh-huh.
But they really do. They fly off the shelves because I mean, Halloween is an amazing holiday. So
yeah,
very fun.
Yeah. The only title I can think of right now is She Wanted to Be Haunted or It Wanted to Be Haunted about a house that wanted to be a haunted house. But, you know, I loved Zilpha Keatley Snyder growing up and, you know, The Headless Cupid and all of those you know, creepy
books.
The
first title that came to mind for me was Benicula.
Ooh, what's that?
Oh, you know, a vampire rabbit. It's something I remember from when I was younger. But and then don't forget, too, that just after Halloween, keep an eye out for Day of the Dead, Dia de los Muertos,
mm-hmm.
Celebrations at our libraries as well. Many of the libraries do find ways to honor this tradition, and please look for those in your libraries, too.
Excellent.
And one last thing, also for adults, we have Haunted Books of San Francisco.
Oh, yay.
So there are several titles. I don't know the name of it, but mm-hmm. you can come to a library. And basically, all those books list the address, and mm-hmm. they'll tell you a short story, what happened, who's haunting what.
Okay. And I remember, like, last year or 2 years ago, there were bookmarks out that had, like, you know, they divided it up by genre of things. So I'm gonna look for those, too, because they were just sort of out there in the, you know, on the shelves, like, oh, you know, just surreptitiously
yes.
waiting for people like me who are looking for stuff like that. Well, fellas, we are out of time, and I love talking to the librarians, and my librarianistas are always welcome here to talk about whatever is going on at the library. You have so many fun things that are happening, and people of Earth, this is your opportunity. You can do everything. So if you're not doing anything, it's by choice. So I want to thank you both for being on the show and also for doing what you do.
Thank you. Thank you for
having
us.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Okay, people of Earth, it's just about time for me to ride off into the sunset. Well, you know, the searing heat that is going to be our future for the next couple of days. It's going to be hot today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. So change your bedding, line up your meal plan so that you don't have to cook. Do whatever it is you need to do to be comfortable. I am going to leave you with a little bit of, I'm going to say Jimmy Forrest. This is from Anthropology. It is called All the Gin Is Gone. Until next week, my friends, ta-ta and toodly-doo.